This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Box Trick. I'm your host, Matt, otherwise known on the internet as Super Gains Bros, joined once again by Kyle, the Age of Retro. It's been a bit.
It has.
Didn't do a thing in December, didn't do a thing in January.
Holidays. Busyness.
Yeah, we always do a big trip in January. So it's like, man, you know, get this end of the year vibes, and then go on vacation and went to Mexico. Great.
Oh, nice. Welcome back. Yeah. I'm glad you made it back.
Yeah, I was a little nervous there. I mean, it was literally like the week before. I was like texting my wife. I was like, the United States just like kidnapped the president of another country that's like, you know, has you head south. So if we like kidnap theirs, I'm not going. Right. And so, but went Puerto Vallarta, second time I've been, freaking fantastic.
Nice.
Didn't see any retro video games, unfortunately.
No, I was wondering that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you made it back.
Yeah. I mean, how was your holidays? How's everything going?
It was good. Had some good time off. Caught up on some games. Nothing crazy. I don't even know what I played. I don't even know what I grinded on, but I definitely picked away some. Oh, Expedition 33. Fantastic. I wouldn't say it was my favorite game of last year, but it was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm going to be diving into next. And of course I have some of our pickups here. I don't know if you have any. Do you have any pickups?
The only thing I've picked up recently is Bushido Blade 2 on the PS1. Okay. It was in store.
I saw that on Instagram.
How do you not get that game for $5?
Somebody had no idea what they have. Yeah. I have the original. I have the first one on PlayStation. Some pickups. Well, something we both picked up on, you mentioned it, was I don't even know the name of this company.
I don't know.
The JC400 Switch Pro. It's kind of like the Nitro Deck, whatever. Now, this isn't I think the Nitro Deck is USB. This is Bluetooth, but it's like playing with a Bluetooth controller anyway, but it's fantastic. This is great. This is exactly what I've wanted. The Nitro Deck is coming. I'll wait and see. You know,
it's pricey.
It's a little pricey. It'll probably come down on Amazon. And so when it does that,
The difference between that controller is it's $40.
Yeah.
And the Nitro Deck, I think, is $150 with the case.
Yeah. I had the,
that's insane.
I had the Retro Flag one for the original Switch. It was like a GameCube thing. Loved it. That was USB, but this is great. I'm playing games, no issues. But finished Cyberpunk. It was great. I did buy, you know, me and my handhelds, but this is kind of the end all handheld. The Legion Go, the Steam version, because I just got so tired of Windows, man. I mean, I still have my ROG Ally, that's basically my desktop now, and I was like, I just got tired of doing this because it's like this big bulky cable. And anyway, and everyone's like, just get a Steam Deck. And so I was like, all right, well, I want something with a little more juice than a Steam Deck. Worth every penny. This thing's awesome. I play it like nonstop. It's this on my Switch when I'm on the go at work and whatever. Steam OS, man, I'm in. I get it 100%. I get why everyone's like Steam OS is so good. It is quick so resume. Good.
Yep.
And man, cloud saves. Like
you can't beat it.
I put another like since the last time we talked, I put 60 more hours into Cyberpunk, finished it, did everything. But I was like, I could play on the Switch. I could play on my Mac. I could play on my thing. I could play on this.
Portability is the future.
100%.
Other companies need to realize it. I recently picked up Madden 26 on the Switch 2.
What do you think about it?
Performance wise, but like the ease of use and the play wherever I want, playing Madden Ultimate Team, I can't put it down.
Yeah. It's great, man. And being able to play across the go. The minute I have Madden as well. Been playing it on PC. I'm in more into college football these days. So right. But the minute that hits PC and hopefully next year or this year, I guess I should say, because I think the Madden Switch has done well, you know, and I think maybe we'll see a version. But EA, I don't care if you have to drop the graphics, make it 60 FPS. That's the biggest knock of the Madden version on Switch. It is a good build. It could lose some visual fidelity. I was actually shocked it's night and day when I plus, play it.
When you're online, it requires online for basically everything. If you're playing Ultimate Madden, which that's all I'm doing. I'm just playing Ultimate Madden. And it is sluggish. Even the menus, they just did a new update yesterday for the Super Bowl because they're dropping crazy cards and it feels so sluggish because you have to use the internet and the Switch 2 is just like struggling a little bit.
Yeah. And that's on EA because people have done crazy ports and we'll talk about that a little bit here today. But the other thing really I picked up because we have to talk a little bit about this other game I have here, but it came out around the same time, Octopath Traveler Zero. So Square has been doing a upgrade path for a lot of the RPGs. I was expecting that this was going to be the case with Octopath, as it had been with Final Fantasy Tactics and it had been with the Dragon Quest games. Come to find out, there is no upgrade path. So I bought this, and then because I'm a diehard Octopath fan, I rebought the game digitally on the Switch 2 version. Glad I did. I don't care. I at least have it physically, you know, and so I'm obviously not going to be making that mistake with Dragon Quest VII that's coming out.
I got that today.
Yeah. Did you get the Switch 1 or Switch 2 version?
Switch 2.
Switch 2. So the game key card.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah. So, which is what I'll be buying as well. But this game is freaking fantastic. Another just absolutely amazing game in the series.
So that's the third game in that series?
Yes.
Right.
I guess technically fourth. I think there's a mobile game.
Okay. That doesn't count.
Let's talk about. Sorry, my daughter is running by. If you hear screaming, my wife just got home. So, I got to get your thoughts on it, man. We didn't talk about it. Metroid Prime 4.
I have to be.
You're honest. The Metroid guy. Yeah.
I am the Metroid guy. I had to put it down for a bit.
Yeah,
I played probably 6 or 7 hours. I was like halfway through, and I just felt guilt not finishing Expedition 33 because it came out in the middle of my playthrough, and I'm tired of like abandoning games, so I haven't picked it back up. Madden took over. Madden reigns supreme right now.
That's okay. You're a Patriots fan. You guys are back in the Super Bowl.
I know. I haven't picked up and played a Madden faithfully since 2011. That was the last time I really played through a Madden game.
Yeah.
And Pats are back. Warriors.
And to be fair, this is probably the best Madden. I don't buy every year, but I bought 24. I didn't particularly like it. Like, gameplay was good, but the franchise was not great. I played 20. 20 I was pretty into. 2016 was really good. And so, like, you can see my jump. It was literally like 2012, 16, or no, about the 2025 Madden 25, which is 2014 was the first one on the PS4, 16, 20, 24, and then I did buy 26.
I'll say Metroid, for the bit I played, it was very good so far. No complaints. It's beautiful. The story seemed decent. I could see why people are annoyed. Some of the character, well, one character in particular is pretty annoying. But you don't really, you know, it's a gameplay game. Yeah. Metroid doesn't have like the craziest dialogue story anyway, anywhere.
Yeah, I like it. I think Metroid Prime 4 is a good game. I don't think it is this great game that we were all hoping it would be. If we get a Metroid Prime 5 that is a Switch 2 exclusive, and you can tell like this game was also created for the Switch 1, which is crazy, by the way, like to think about like playing that on Switch 1, because Metroid Prime Remastered on Switch 1 is freaking amazing. I mean, it's a fantastic port of a game. I don't think that every game needs to be Breath of the Wild, and I don't particularly like the desert section,
the biking and all that.
The biking, also the fact. I mean, look, we're both Nintendo shareholders. I'm, you know, very invested in Nintendo. Having an amiibo to unlock music is pretty ridiculous. I mean, even for me, that's like, what are we doing? Okay, I mean, that's pretty absurd. I get it, but I mean, that's whatever. But even still, I just don't know that we need the desert section, right? I mean, like Metroid Prime and all the Metroid Prime games, you know, other M was like this. You just kind of go to your different regions and it's all kind of fine. So I don't know that we necessarily needed it. But there's a lot of stuff in this game. I did not finish it. I will finish it. But just, I'm probably like you, I think probably like 60-70% of the way through. A lot of the stuff in there early on, like I think the opening cutscene is amazing, or the opening section is awesome. I think it's fan, and I'm like, this, it felt like Halo, like old school Halo.
Yes.
And so I really like that. So I think that it's going in a good direction. You know, they had to get this monkey off their back. So I'm excited to see what Metroid Prime 5 could be like, because I'm pretty sure we'll get that. And as a
Switch, actually, I have that on
Metroid, Super Metroid,
Halo 2.
Oh, Halo 2. There we go.
It definitely had that feel to it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It felt less Metroid-y and more Halo-y.
Yeah.
Kind of strange. Strange game.
Yeah. Okay. Some other things here before we get into our big topic, by the way, which is Destiny. We've been wanting to talk about it for a while. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the Nintendo Direct, which dropped today. Any sort of highlights, anything? It was a partner Direct, so a bunch of games that dropped. Some we kind of knew about or had a pretty good idea was coming, and then some surprises there at the end.
Yep.
But anything for you that you were particularly excited about?
I thought it was good. The Direct was good. I didn't even pay attention that it was releasing today. I just kind of woke up and was like, oh, there's the Direct. Right off the bat, they started with Orbitals, which looks amazing.
Yeah.
It looks like Split Fiction with anime, like 80s style anime. It looks really cool.
It kind of reminds me of Cuphead a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, just like that
the animation style.
That animation. It looks fantastic. Yeah. These two player co-op things, like Split Fiction and all those things. It's not my cup of tea, but I mean, this looks like it belongs.
It looks exactly.
It looks like it looks like those, and it looks like it belongs right in the breath of the best of them.
And I think I heard that it's exclusive for Nintendo.
Okay. Okay.
That and the Tokyo Scramble game, which is like,
that looks cool.
Dinosaur survivor horror kind of game.
Hey,
I'll take it.
Yeah.
They also announced Turok. That new Turok game looks interesting. Since we're talking about dinosaurs. Yeah.
Turok looked sweet. Hollow Knight is getting a Switch 2 version. I don't know. That's going to be Hollow Knight's your jam. We saw more Adventures of Elliot, which is same breath of the Octopath Traveler. All of the Square 2D HD games. Yep. Freaking fantastic. There was a Bomberman collection. Not a particularly great collection, by the way. Final Fantasy Rebirth is coming out on Switch. We knew that was happening. If it has a 60 FPS mode, because I thought I saw some people saying that they were, because the other one that just came out, the Final Fantasy Remake, I think it's only 30 FPS, although it's plays fantastic. I played the demo because I just wanted to see and see how much better it runs than like on, you know, like my Steam Deck or Legion Go. So, because I don't own Rebirth, I only own Rebirth on PlayStation, and I absolutely loved Rebirth. I thought it was fantastic. It was my game of the year 2 years ago when it came out. I thought it was an amazing game. So if it even has a performance mode that feels like 45, 60, mm-hmm. then I'll buy it on that instead of PC.
I think the other ones that I was excited for, Bethesda kind of showed mm-hmm. up in this direct, showcasing Indiana Jones, Fallout 4, which again, I own it like 3 times now. I might buy it again for that accessibility, just to bring it around wherever I want to go. And the other thing that kind of surprised me, and this has nothing, it was in the direct, but also it kind of got me excited before, was the new WWE 2K26.
Yeah.
It's very retro themed, which kind of has me curious.
It's Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Monday Night Wars. Although the only problem I have with that is and maybe they'll release more of the roster. I don't know if the whole roster's been, but how are you gonna have the Monday Night Wars without Sting?
Right.
Is DDP in the game? The WCW seems a little slim. Yeah, seems a little slim. I was looking here to see. I think I own Fallout 4. I do. I'll be honest with you. I've never really played any of the Fallout games.
They are a very niche kind of game for me. I have to play like a Mario game after, something uplifting. It is just too depressing sometimes.
Yeah, and it's just every time I think about playing Fallout, I'm like, well, I could play Skyrim or Oblivion.
Oblivion, which is coming.
Yeah, and that version looked way better than I thought it would be.
That's going to be a tough sell for me, though.
The Oblivion remake?
Yeah, it plays horribly on Switch, on the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
It's got its issues on PC now. I don't know. That would be a tough sell for me.
Yeah. Well, we will have to see. I guess, yeah, for me, there was definitely some games in there. Tokyo Scramble, Turok, I was definitely pretty excited about. Final Fantasy Rebirth, I will probably get. I'm sure I will get that because I like that. I like that way more than Remake. And even that Granblue Fantasy Relink, that's like a whole big franchise. I remember there's been some fighting games, but there was like a big RPG. I think it was like Granblue something, I don't know. And I remember seeing a trailer for it back in the day thinking it looked awesome. So I kind of want to like check that. I think I have it like on Steam. And I guess Indiana Jones is confirmed to be on a cart.
Nice.
Which, by the way, they've said some of that. Some of the reasons that is that developers are choosing game key cards is because they don't want to pay for all this extra storage if they're playing small games. So I guess that is something Nintendo is working on, is getting smaller cartridge sizes. So that may lead to more physical hardware, which we're all for.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to talk. I have no idea how this conversation is going to go, because it's going to be us gushing. It's going to be us just reliving old glory days. And that is Destiny. You know, I recently did a TikTok because I knew we were going to talk about it. And I was talking about I said, like, you know, no game has ever understood the power of a weekend like Destiny.
Right.
Like, trials, raids. And then maybe a little bit about Destiny 2, where it's going. Marathon is coming out. Is that like the end of Destiny 2? Well, I guess there's a mobile game some people are into. And kind of talk about it. I have tried to get into Destiny a couple times, Destiny 2, over the years. I guess some people say like it's had really good moments here and there. I think maybe I just miss them. So we're just going to talk about it, because I've often said that if, you know, it was my favorite. It was my favorite game ever.
Right.
If I could go back and relive any gaming moment, it would be Destiny, no question.
I agree. Just to give my credentials, by the way, if you're a Destiny fan, you have to have some kind of clout. I've got a little bit. I've got a strange coin here. that came with the expedition or one of the expansions. I think it came with the Witch Queen one or the Fallen. I forgot which one. I also have my Gambit token, which was sent from Bungie itself for the achievements. And then I calculated my time in Destiny 1. And there was a time where I played on Xbox and they were getting better exclusives on PlayStation. Like just
yeah, that's true.
Whatever. Just whatever. Like outfits, guns, like they were just getting stuff. So I made the jump. I left some friends and I said, guys, I'm going. I calculated my time and on Xbox I put in 70 days and 6 hours. On PS4, I put in 38 days and 2 hours for a combined total of 108 days and 8 hours. I have never played a game more than this. Ever.
Same.
Nothing even comes close. And that's days, like days. That's a quarter of like a third of a year into a video game.
It's insane. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I was trying to look mine up because I was like, oh, I was trying to see if there's a way for me to do it, but I'm well over like 1,000 hours. Like 1,000 hours doesn't even scratch the surface on that game, because I'm looking at my profile on PSN Profiles is a website where you can track to see like how close you are to platinums and everything. And Destiny 1, the only thing I'm missing, and maybe we can get a group together. Maybe some people out there are listening that are diehard Destiny fans. All I need is a flawless raid.
Easy.
And I get the Guardian Lord platinum trophy. I grinded hard for that, but I could never get a good enough team. And then I will get my Destiny 1 platinum, which is, there are some games where I was hardcore into grinding. There are some games where it's like, I want it because I want that sign of achievement to say, oh, I did that platinum. And that Destiny 1 is still one of them.
Flawless raid. I don't think you could. I don't know. It depends on what light level you are. I don't know how it ended with Destiny 1. I think 1.
Crota's
probably the easiest.
I think Crota's the only one you can solo.
Yeah.
There's a way to. Well, I remember
I've back seen in a the dude day. Solo every single one.
How do you solo Vault of Glass?
Just an insane. He would just run and he would definitely do it.
Because I thought, I'll have to go watch and see how you do that. But so, by the way, real quick, I forgot, by the way, that this game was on PS3 and Xbox 360. That's, I mean, to Bungie's credit, that's like pretty miraculous. Because we think about crazy ports now. Like, it's just insane that they designed this game essentially for that, and then the PS4 version and Xbox One versions were just better. That's wild to me.
I had a friend leave his 360 game. He bought an Xbox One just to play with us. Like, that's how crazy this game is.
I had a buddy who was playing on 360. You had the problem is, and this is something I've thought about too. This is something I want to talk about maybe someday when we get into GameCube. Is like platform exclusives. Like, it used to be cool. Remember, like back in the day with Soul Calibur, where it's like, okay, the GameCube got Link and Xbox Yoda. Got Spawn, and you know, some of the GameCube games, you could, like, I think like SSX, you could play as Mario, or NBA Street, you could play as Mario, and like that's kind of fun, and that I think is a cool way to do it. But then for Destiny, you had if you were on Xbox, you were inferior.
Absolutely.
Because there was I forget the name of the strike, but it was a PlayStation exclusive strike.
Yep.
And then Hawkmoon, you could not get Hawkmoon on Xbox.
Nope. Kind of that's what kind of broke me. I'm like, Sony definitely paid up and they're getting everything.
Xbox, well, now they own it. So I mean,
Yep.
So, okay, so I didn't get into Destiny until House of Wolves. You were day one?
I didn't know if I was going to get it. I don't know why. I remember going to work and people were like, are you getting it? I'm like, I don't know. It looks okay. It's Bungie, so it should be good. And then I ended up getting it. So I was a day one. And I just got kind of sucked into it because it was so weird. And so mysterious. Like, when Xur started showing up and you were like, who is this dude? Like, I only have 3 strange coins. You need 21 for that weapon? What? Like, what is this? And then he only shows up one day a week and you have to, he's only there for a certain amount of time. This is going back, you know, 10 plus years. There wasn't just like a lot of content creators then that would have this stuff and you could just readily go online and figure everything out. You had to figure it all out. It wasn't prescriptive from people. And I loved the atmosphere and the mystery of that game when it first came out. And it just kind of sucked me in. So I was a day one.
Yeah, I remember seeing it and thinking, oh, this could be cool. And then I had some buddies who were playing and I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I picked it up because House of the Wolves, I remember that was, it was because like Destiny, I think, launched in the fall of 2014. I just remember because I got a hardcore into it in the summer of 2015 when I went back to school. And so I had a summer break. And I was basically working cooking at a restaurant. So I only worked like 3 days a week. And I was just like, all right, you know, so I literally had nothing going on, which is also, I think, just part of the other reason I'm so nostalgic for this game. So it was an amazing time in my life in which I was like very fortunate to be able to just sit around and play video games all day. And so I got in after House of Wolves and played like a weekend. And I was like, this is pretty cool. This is pretty fun with some of my friends. And then they dropped the game. They was like, whatever, not really into it, whatever. But I kept playing. I played basically hardcore until Destiny 2, after about a month or two of Destiny 2, and then I fell off. But wow. I think like hardcore every weekend, no question, that was like the game I played. I pretty much exclude it. There's a lot of games in that time gap that
Destiny killed so many games.
Destiny killed for me, like Batman, like Metal Gear Solid 5. I'm like a huge, literally, yep. It's the logo of the podcast. I put it off because I was playing Destiny. I put off Batman Arkham Knight because I was playing Destiny. There were just so many games. I was like, nah, Destiny was my jam. And so I played it hardcore for like 3-4 years every weekend. I was actually ranked. I was trying to find it, but I don't know if that it exists anymore because the stats have changed. But I do have a screenshot of my old computer. I got to like bust it out. It's like literally it's in storage under the house. I have to like dig and find it. But there was a website where you could track your stats to see like multiplayer stats. And I was in the top 5% of control because I pretty much exclusively played Crucible Control. Because I think Destiny 1 Crucible Control is probably the best first person shooter multiplayer ever. It was so well balanced. Like the weapons changed and weapon balance itself changed. The meta. But the structure of that multiplayer was so amazing in that it was like a true tug of war. Because okay, everyone gets out and everyone starts going, and then a few minutes into the match, everyone starts getting their supers, and now the playing field has leveled.
And then it becomes a chess game.
Yeah, and it became like a tug of war, and you'd see it going this, doing this, and then middle of the match, heavy ammo comes out, which also then resets. Yep. The playing field. So I mean, it was just such an amazingly balanced thing. Now, sure, some of the maps weren't balanced, but I mean, this is Bungie, and I think it's the best multiplayer Bungie's ever made. Yeah, I mean, even comparing it to like Halo and Halo 3 and everything, I thought it was fantastic. Weapon balance for me, I still think the best balance, because it's just always a meta, and so some guns rise and some guns fall. I still think hand cannon season was the best ever on Destiny.
Do you remember the Red Death?
Yeah,
pulse that rifle. Was my go-to for a long time.
Yeah.
I remember I just started to figure out friends were getting it and then realized that they were pretty invested too. So it was me and then like 5 of my closer friends just kind of gravitated towards it. And then we just religiously played. And luckily my daughter was like 4 or 5. So it was early bedtime. I'd probably start at 8:30 whenever she went to bed. And I remember just crushing monsters trying to stay up. Cause if you know, raids are like early on, if you're under leveled, they could take 3, 4, 5 hours sometimes if you don't know how to figure it out, and especially when they're brand new. And I just remember staying up till like 2 a.m. and I had to go to work the next day. And I worked in Boston. Actually, I worked above Boston, which is Cambridge. And those are some long, long days. Like going to work the next day, I had to be there for like 8:30, and it's like 2 hours of traffic to get there. So I'd be up at 6, and it was just craziness. I can't believe I did it. I can't do it now.
Those days are gone.
No. I cannot do that now. But I don't think a game's ever done that where it's like, all right, guys, what are we playing tonight? New raid. Because, it would, the resets every week. So there was always an incentive. There was always something to do. And if there was nothing to do, you could jump into control or trials, the weekend.
I grinded strikes so hard, because I did the math. So again, I got in during hand cannon season, and the first exotic I ever got was Icebreaker, and I thought it sucked.
Oh yeah.
Because I was
Icebreaker's awesome.
I know. Because I'm playing and I'm not looking stuff. I'm just playing the game. It has like an ammo recharges, but it fires kind of slow. And I'd rather have a faster sniper.
The DPS on that thing.
I know. It's unreal. So then everyone's like, wait. So then I started the first time I've really ever done like a look for group online. And I met these guys out of England. And it was so insane. So like I said, I wasn't doing anything. And for some reason, every time I would join, I was in Ohio, but for whatever reason, every time I joined, I was always talking to people from England who were playing. And in just matches, I'd turn on like fire team chat or whatever. And so then I just left for group, and I also happened to find these guys out of England. And so I don't know if the servers thought I was inning. I don't know how it worked, but I was always grouping with them. So I would get up. First of all, I got into the best shape of my life ever during that summer.
You're because games, bro.
Exactly. That's where it started was because I just got up, went to the gym, and then I went home and I did nothing but play Destiny. And I was back living with my dad. My dad's like a whole old redneck who is like, oh man, I can't run the air conditioner. You're hot. Turn on a fan or, whatever, deal with it. So I'm just like sitting in my room. It's like Ohio summer, like sweating profusely, like slamming water, just playing Destiny hardcore every day. So I got up, I went to the gym. As soon as I got home, I turned on Destiny, and my buddies in England, who I became friends with, shout out, Follow UK, Red Storm Rex. I'm still friends with them on Facebook. And they were getting off work because it's the time zone difference. So, all right, they hit me up. Let's play. So now we're playing. So then by the time they're like going to bed, my Ohio friends are like, okay, hey, we're getting off work. You want to play Destiny for a few hours? Okay. By the time they were going to bed, because I had lived in Portland before I moved back to Ohio, my buddies in Portland, who are now kind of back into Destiny, were like, let's play. So I was just in the perfect zone to be playing with people like I knew and liked, like all day long. So I was literally playing Destiny for like 14 hours a day. It was ridiculous.
I remember putting the time in. I wouldn't have been able to play with you because of the time difference. It would be too late for us.
At that point, I was in Ohio, so we would have been on the same time
zone. Oh, yeah, same time zone.
But now,
sorry, dude.
Yeah, it'd be tough. Now, I could make it work, but it'd be tough. But yeah, but again, hand cannon season. So what I found was I did the math, and I was like, I was timing out strikes versus missions versus Crucible, because after you got the weekly exotic drop, mm-hmm. right? Like you only get that one chance per week. There was a small percent chance that just by completing any mission or any whatever, you would have a shot at getting an exotic. So the first exotic hand cannon I got was Thorn. And I was like, this is pretty cool. And then I was going online and seeing what everyone's saying. And I was like, what the other two exotic hand cannons everyone was saying you need during hand cannon season was Hawkmoon or The Last Word. And I was like, I want The Last Word. So I, after I did my like weekly exotic, try to get my exotics, didn't get it. And so I was grinding strikes every day because I did the math and it was shorter. So I could crank out more strikes in a day than like by playing Crucible just for the random percent chance that you would get an exotic. Mm-hmm. And after about 6 weeks, I got it. It was a Friday. I still remember it was a Friday morning. And I was just hopping on. I was like, all right, whatever, you know, just like, I'm just gonna play some Crucible, see what's going on. Just, you know, hanging out like on my phone. Boom. First match of the day, just a random Crucible match. The Last Word dropped. And that has been, even to this day, when I hop back into Destiny a little bit here and there, I don't care what the freaking meta is. I still use that gun. It's my jam, man. It's so sick.
I do love The Last Word. It was like the quick draw.
Oh yeah!
Do you remember getting lit up with Thorn in Crucible? Oh, it was the most annoying thing to get hit with because you're basically dead.
Yeah,
like even if you run away, you're dead.
You're dead. Yeah. So that's why I think hand cannon season was the most balanced because even though obviously the hand cannons were the weapon to use, you had three exotics that all were pretty unique. So like you still had like some balance inside of the meta, mm-hmm. I guess is what I'm trying to say, where I feel like other times metas have not been particularly balanced. Like it often revolves around like one gun as opposed to multiple of that variety.
Yep. I was more of a, for Crucible, I was mostly using the Suros.
Oh yeah.
The Suros regime. That was my, I love that gun. And I wasn't much of a hand cannon person myself.
Yeah.
I was more of a I would be.
You were a warlock.
No, I was a Titan.
Oh, Titan. Okay.
But I was a glass cannon Titan.
Yeah.
So I just like running, guns blazing, punching people. Like I was very aggressive. I probably stray away from pulse rifles. Definitely autos were the way to go for me. I feel like they've ruined the mechanic in Destiny 2 by giving you two primaries. I thought it was kind of stupid. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yep.
Because the meta was primary weapon, shotgun, whatever the hell you want for heavy.
Yeah. I will tell you what, I was much more of a heavy machine gun guy. Because everyone is using rocket launchers, and I was like, "Well, you fire one thing, and then you're done."
Yeah, you're done.
But heavy machine guns, you can actually roll with them for a little bit. So I pretty much always ran hand cannon or pulse. I mean, I kind of went back and forth a little bit depending on like what the meta was, but mostly hand cannons. I liked pulse rifles I would use pulse rifles for PvE a lot, and I very much like pulse rifles as well. That was definitely my second. And then I pretty much always ran sniper.
Them in trials for a period.
Oh, for sure, you had to.
Yeah. You couldn't go in with a shotgun. That's the point. You just like it. It just became so tactical and just
what was
like, creeping around corners.
What was the name of that gun in Destiny 1? It was a because there were the. Snipers were always specials, but there was a primary, like old school, like flintlock.
Patience rifle. And time.
Patience, time. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we would always play trials, and anytime you'd see like three people rocking patience and time, we're like, we're screwed. Because you know, like you can see the other people. Like
I think that was my first exotic that I bought from Xur was patience.
Patience and time.
Yeah.
So we would always put it on like Like, so everyone's like thinking like,
oh no.
Destiny 1 Trials, and Destiny 2, it was four people, and it just totally changed.
Yeah. 3-on-3 was so good.
It was so good. We would always play really good teams, and we would just like message them after we were almost down, and we would just message them like, comeback starts now. Of course, comeback did not start now, but it was definitely like pretty funny to do. Cause we were totally getting wrecked here, but like it was definitely.
I think I went flawless maybe three times.
That's I never did. I got so close. Yeah. I was one.
It was always a grind.
Let's talk a little bit about the Destiny story, because I think that was definitely pretty cool about it. And you and I were messaging each other and wanted to talk a little bit about the Taken King, because I think that you and I were just in our messaging on Instagram and stuff. Taken King for me is like a top five DLC ever, expansion ever. It drastically changed everything about Destiny, and I mean, it felt like the story finally got like a big push. Oh man, it feels like we're actually having consequences for some of the events in the story. Like we killed Crota and now Oryx is coming. Even like that first mission where you go to Titan. Where because he's on his way. You go and then his like boom and you see the Forsaken and it's like, man, such a cool mission. Still, I think probably top. I mean, I think it's a top five expansion of anything ever. You and I were talking. I mean, it's right up there with me for like the Diablo 2 expansion. And I mean, Cyberpunk, Phantom Liberty's up there. So just some of the best. Mass Effect 3's expansion was amazing. It was just some of the best expansions ever. Taken King is up there. Plus, it added a ton of weapon variety to the game. Like swords drastically changed the way Destiny played.
Right. You got a taste of them in the Crota raid, right?
Because yes.
You needed those knight swords to kind of mm-hmm. knock him down, right? Because you had to.
Yeah.
The Taken King is by far one of the best expansions or DLC continuation, whatever it is. It is by far one of the best because it seems like you missed a bit up front in the game because you said you joined probably the summer after, so you missed.
I played all the story and everything and the missions and everything. So yeah, the Dark Below and House of Wolves. But I mean, it just felt like Taken King, like the story really was beginning to come together.
A lot of people had a problem with vanilla Destiny. The story was okay, right? Story wise, it was okay. It played perfectly, lots of fun. That really kind of blew up once you got to the Taken King, and you probably joined at a perfect time.
Yeah, I think that was another part. I just joined, and then it's like, oh man, the huge new expansion. After the Taken King, though, I will say Rise of Iron was a little kind of a letdown because you could tell that they were just getting everything geared up for.
It was
for
smaller.
It was smaller. It was still good.
Yeah,
and it was like Iron Banner, which by the way,
Iron Banner,
so
much fun.
So much fun. Yeah. I mean, that was another thing. I remember the first time I played Iron Banner, like, what is this? And it's like, oh, there's like, it's like special crucible gear. And like,
right.
The balance in Destiny 1, and I think, and we'll talk a little bit, we'll dive into Destiny 2 here in a minute too. But I feel like the biggest difference for me in comparing Destiny 1 to Destiny 2 is the grind. And while I can see some people like it and some people don't, but I felt like the grind in Destiny made me want to come back because it was, even though it was a random number generator, it was still fair. And it felt like when you got something, it felt amazing and it felt earned and it felt awesome. In Destiny 2, you can just buy it because it's all seasons and microtransactions and you just, okay, just play enough and then you just get it. I mean, and so I get it because I get the mindset from a company standpoint. One, you want to make money. And two, I'm sure to some degree, you don't want people feeling like they're missing part of the game or they're not at all able to get something. But I guess for me, whether you're playing something and like I was, where I just grinded and grinded and grinded and eventually I got it, or you're playing enough until the little season marker clicks all the way over and you get it, isn't it still the same? I mean, it's still the same grind, but I guess here you have like a straightforward path. So I can see to some degree why you might want to go that route, because then at least you are still somewhat earning it. But having that clear path of like, oh, if I just do this, I get it, as opposed to like the random, oh, it feels like you got lucky. And that's the difference
right.
for me.
Something, I don't know if you recall, but we were so underleveled in Destiny 1, like the vanilla, that we were cheesing the hell out of the game. Like hiding under stairs during strikes that we had no business being in, just to get that loot. Trying to throw Atheon off his ledge. I don't know if you recall that.
No, I didn't have to do any of that stuff during.
So
I think that was literally just vanilla. That was all just vanilla. And then
we had no business being in the raid. We had no business being in the Vault of Glass when we were in it. And some of our higher level friends took us through it for the first time. And I remember being up until 3 a.m. and we couldn't make a dent on Atheon. And there was like this cheap trick where a warlock could throw solar grenades at his feet if he got to the ledge, and he would just kind of back up and then eventually just fall off the ledge and you'd win. So I remember doing that, and the Vex Mytha class dropped for me on the first raid, and I was like, I was the guy.
Oh yeah,
shredding everyone. Like, you hear that in PvP and you know, like, you're toast. Like, that thing would just melt people. You would melt everyone in PvP. And I, like, you think about having a weapon like the Gjallarhorn, and people wouldn't invite you to a raid because you don't have the Gjallarhorn, because you're not gonna get those wolf pack rounds and you're not gonna add that extra damage. Like, that was all considered in this game.
Yeah,
like, it crazy to think about. Obviously, like, our friends we would just raid together, but like, sure. Just hearing those stories about like, oh, like, you don't have a Gjallarhorn, nah, can't do it.
Yep. Oh, I remember every time you go on Destiny LFG, it'd be like, must have Galley.
Must have truth, must have Galley.
Yeah. So ridiculous.
Rough times.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Destiny 2 here. And
do we need to?
Yes, we do. We need to, because I think it's on its way out. I think Destiny 2, it feels time.
Like
at this point, and Marathon is coming, and maybe that's going to be the thing. You've got the special edition ordered. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited for it. I mean, I know it's an extraction shooter or whatever.
Of the Gjallarhorn.
There you go.
There's the Iron Gjallarhorn. Yeah, so, I'm excited.
Destiny 2, I will say, because I just fell off, and I've tried to get back in, and I think maybe part of it is just I have over time tried to get back in during the wrong expansions. Not that I would know, because I was just like, man, I really want to get back into Destiny. I definitely felt like when we went from Destiny 1 to Destiny 2, some of what Bungie had promised us back in the day was, oh, you'll be able to take all of your weapons the whole way through, and you were not able to do that. They didn't scale like they said they would,
right?
And then later they actually did, and it didn't matter anyway. So like, that wasn't entirely the case. They changed up a lot of the powers, and I felt like they were actually like your classes, and even I felt like some of that was, like, for me, I played Gunslinger Hunter, all about the golden gun, give me my three big shots, boom boom boom, three kills. And then they changed it and they tweaked it, and I do feel like it's gotten better over time in some of the small changes and things like that. But story wise I do feel like vanilla Destiny 2 was a very good campaign. Making the Cabal, destroying part of the tower, now you go to the other tower. I felt like that was a very, very cool campaign.
Yep. Story was great in two. Hanging on wise, though, it did not draw. You probably cut the time I gave in a quarter, and that's probably the time I invested into. I probably went up until Black Armory. That was probably my last expansion after Forsaken. And I couldn't do it anymore. Yeah. It requires a lot of time. It just didn't feel the same. I felt like we were just hanging on to Destiny 1. And it was okay. You can't even compare it to Destiny 1.
Yeah.
Just the raids were so much better in the first one. Where in 2 they were like, you know, it's bad when they're bringing back old raids from Destiny 1. You know?
Yeah.
Like they're like, oh, it's the new Vault of Glass. It's like, no, it's not the same. It's not the same.
Not the same. Yeah, so I'm looking here. So I got back into Destiny. I tried to get back into Destiny 2 during Warmind. It was okay. Didn't particularly do it for me. I tried to get back in again Beyond Light. And then I tried a little bit again last year, Edge of Fate. And so now there's Renegades and it's like, oh, it's all Star Wars. And so I don't know. I'm willing to try and actually give it another shot, because I made some of those TikToks and so many people are like, some of the Destiny 2 people who are not just like, oh, D2 is better or whatever. So we were like, no, like you really should. I think they genuinely do feel like it's better. But I think I'll tell you what another big killer of Destiny was for me. So I think it was the fall off of Destiny 2 when I sort of played it. And I mean, I was like, man, this is just not, but it was a lot of just gaming switched for me, literally, because yeah. That was on the Switch. The Switch 1 came out and it just totally changed my perception of video gaming, and that now I had this hybrid video game console that I could play like here and play on the go. And like literally, I think like the Switch was just so, Switch 1 was so good that just as a console that it also, like Breath of the Wild, man, it just like that is the, it took that level of a game for me to ultimately push me off Destiny.
Right. Yeah. Breath of the Wild brought me back to reality a bit.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't play God of War when it came out. I missed that. I missed a lot of good games. Single player was, I was so focused on new multiplayer games so I could keep that co-op alive with friends. I missed out on so many great, like even Ground Zeroes and 5. I missed out on that. I'm diehard Metal Gear fan, just like you. Mm-hmm. And I like you. I didn't even pick it up. I just, there was, because you'd miss something. You're like, oh, I have to focus on Destiny. There's these exotics aren't gonna get themselves, you know. So I did a lot of picking up old stuff that I missed out on. I played Batman. I played Breath of the Wild, Horizon. I played through
Spider-Man. First, yeah,
there was so much. And I thought Anthem, and there was that other game, Evolve. Do you remember Evolve?
Oh yeah.
It was like you're a giant creature, yep, and you have a team trying to take, like, I thought that was going to be the next thing that lasted like a week. Anthem came out, crashed and burned. There was just like this special spark that Destiny had that no one else could kind of catch on to. And I still don't think they have.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely been multiplayer games, like, you know, shooting multiplayer games that have caught my attention a little bit, but I've still, and I'm hoping Marathon is it, or the Destiny. I would, if suddenly they put out an expansion and everyone is like, oh my god, Destiny 2 is back to feeling like Destiny 1, then I'm all here for it. And I hope that Destiny 2 certainly lives on and becomes amazing. Who knows if they go through a rough patch and then they fix it, you know. That's just where we're at with games now, is we're in, it's a lot of game, like Star Wars The Old Republic is still going, right?
I mean, yeah, you know, servers, like, right, people are playing, yeah, on servers.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, no, I think it's still, EA still updates it every now and then.
No, I mean, Star Wars, what was it? Galaxies.
Was it Galaxy? Yeah.
Yeah, people are still playing on like small servers, and they still update them.
But yeah, I mean, so some other, yeah, I mean, Battlefront 2, that was another game that, that was, I think it was 2017, same thing, yeah, that came out, and that ate into a lot of Destiny for me too. So I think it was like Destiny 2 stumbled out of the gate because it did, while the campaign was pretty good, they made enough tweaks to kind of shake off some of the hardcore fans. Mm-hmm. And then there were just so many other good games that I feel like they've still yet to fully recover from that thing. Just like you and I were saying, I mean, like that was in 2017, Breath of the Wild came out. Star Wars Battlefront 2 came out. Red Dead was, I mean, Red Dead Redemption 2. I mean, there's just so, and that's still where we're at right now. There's just so many games. The only games I felt like over the years that I've tried that have really brought me back into massive multiplayer, you know, big multiplayer gaming, I got really hardcore into Splatoon 2. Really liked it. It kind of did the same thing. Splatoon 3 came out and it had a lot of issues and it never totally dropped it. I really like Overwatch, but I don't have the time to be able to play to compete.
Those are treadmill games though.
Sure.
Those are games you can get on, you jump in for
play a
couple hours, jump out, not pick it up for a week. Destiny had the formula to take my attention, to take my money, because I wanted those expansions. And I thought that was the future of multiplayer. I thought every game moving forward should be like Destiny, where you have all these activities, you have your friends,
right?
You can go and play through a game.
It felt like it's a single player experience in a multiplayer format.
Yes.
Which I think is because you just play like a lot of strikes and missions and stuff. Yeah. You can just play with people and there's not really a whole lot that you can do. Right. I will say Helldivers 2. I got hardcore into that. And then I had a baby, you know, and so we had a baby that's the only thing that threw me off. Otherwise I'd still be into that. I will say, I think it's possible. I think we might see Helldivers 2 on Switch.
You think so?
I think I'd be pretty shocked if we don't see the fact that they're already partnered with Microsoft. I think it's just a matter of time.
Right.
That would be enough to probably pull me back into that. But I mean, here's hoping. The Division, and that was another one I kind of got into for a little bit.
I played a lot of Division 1 and 2. That was a very interesting game.
I got really into Ark. Go ahead.
The formula of Ark Raiders is basically
Division. I haven't tried it yet, but I want to.
If we talk about Marathon in a bit, we can
talk about that. Yeah, so yeah, the only other multiplayer games I kind of wanted to mention since we're talking about games that kind of pulled us away, or you know, we've tried that haven't. Gundam Evolution was like Overwatch. I really got into it. I tried Mecha Break. Nah, it's not my thing. I really thought it was gonna be like this awesome thing. Again, not that they're really anything close to Destiny. Apex Legends, I will say, was pretty cool.
Yep, that was good for a while.
And the Switch port and Switch 2 port is very good of that. Yep. But no, that's fine. Let's talk about Marathon.
Yeah, there's just one more thing to add about Destiny, and then we'll talk about Marathon. Is the sense of community in Destiny 1 was thriving.
Totally different.
You'd jump in, you'd see a friend online, they'd hit you up, they need help with a strike, let's do it, let's get you whatever you need to do. Destiny 2, it changed. Like, there was just a very toxic community, I think. I don't know if it's different now, but it definitely changed. As far as Bungie goes, I feel like they've dedicated their resources to Marathon to the point where they're hemorrhaging Destiny 2 to the point where they need Star Wars for no reason at all. It doesn't make sense to me. I am a diehard Star Wars fan. I don't want to see that in my Destiny universe. I'm sorry. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. I feel like it's like a death rattle for the Destiny 2.
Yeah. And they have a mobile game, which apparently is pretty good. I've seen some gameplay footage of it. It looks cool for a mobile game. It looks awesome.
Of what?
The Destiny mobile game.
Even know there was one.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's all third person, but it's pretty cool.
Interesting. So I think Marathon has a lot of potential. It's Bungie, it's Halo, right? It's Destiny. They haven't really disappointed us yet. Maybe the exception of Destiny 2, but whatever. I'm very hopeful and excited for it. And I think once, from what I've read, the guys that were on Marathon are done, right? So then they're going to switch to the live team. So the live team is going to pick it up, do expansions, whatever else, DLC. And that the rumor is that they've switched gears to Destiny 3.
Okay. I mean, I'm down. But I'm either way, I'm fine with, like, Bungie to me does make the best first person shooter. I've always felt like, just when you're comparing like the big companies that make first person shooters, now I'm pulling up some gameplay because I really haven't watched a lot of it. And yeah, this literally looks and feels just like Destiny. So that's pretty cool. But I have always preferred like Halo to Modern Warfare, and
Bungie makes the best.
Right. It's one of the things that kind of got me into Borderlands at first, because it kind of was a blend of the two, at least like in just the control scheme and stuff. And you still had a shield that charged.
Right.
And so that's something I've always liked compared to like Modern Warfare, which is so fast. And that you just like run and gun, and not that the Modern Warfare games, or the Call of Duty games, I should say, are bad or anything. Right. Even comparing like the Battlefield games, but I've just, man, Bungie shooters have to me always been the king.
Yeah, smooth. They feel good. They're beautiful. Marathon looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm watching just some gameplay of it right now. I'm like, yeah, this looks good. I mean, this looks like,
and you know, they delayed, right?
Yes, there was some controversy. I don't remember exactly what it was. AI assets or something.
Yeah. Someone, I guess in some of the concept work that they had AI to and use someone's artwork in the game.
Oh, okay.
And they didn't give them any credit, but they've resolved that. So hopefully that's past them. But either way, they've that delay that they had, I think, was very good for them, because Arc Raiders came out and became the new paradigm for looter shooters. They were able to learn a lot from Arc Raiders, and hopefully they come back swinging, because they need it. It's not going to be able to compete with Arc Raiders if they don't do it right. They're going to get buried.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah, because Arc Raiders is pretty big. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just looking at gameplay. It's a very cool art style.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And I mean, just what I'm seeing here, it feels futuristic. It doesn't, I mean, it feels like it's its own thing.
Yeah.
Big, blocky, you know. Like,
it's very interesting. But
in a cool way. I mean, I don't want to try to diminish it or anything. But yeah, because other than that, there's not a lot of big, like, multiplayer games that are coming, that we see coming out, that I'm like, oh man, this has really got me excited. The only thing that would immediately pull me away is if EA said, hey, we've secured the rights for Battlefront 3. Okay, now we're talking. All right, what do we have to do to get that happening?
Do people play Overwatch anymore?
I don't know. Marvel Rivals,
Overwatch 2, that died. That was dumb.
Yeah.
Have
you played Marvel Rivals?
Yeah. It's Overwatch.
What do you think about it?
It's Overwatch. You like it, Marvel? I thought it was good. I didn't play it as much as I did Overwatch, but it definitely gave me those vibes. Like, it definitely
I got into it for a bit. I think it's a pretty cool like character class. I think the best thing about it is just that you immediately can jump in and feel like any superhero, which is cool. I think it's a very, very cool idea. And the whole time I'm playing it, it's a money making machine, because the whole time I'm playing and I'm like, oh man, it'd be cool to play as like this character who isn't in the game. Like, oh man, I want to play as Cyclops. Oh man, I want to play as, you know, and those characters, that they'll all get added.
Yeah. It's fun. It just didn't, I feel like the treadmill games, they just don't last for me.
Yeah.
Like the Fortnites, it's good to pick up every now and then, depending on the season. Overwatch, they're just like, they're good for like small time chunks, where Destiny had just like that fluid story. You know, there was always something
just
to do.
It always felt like there was a secret waiting around the corner for you to uncover.
And it
there's still a secret in Vault of Glass that they've said nobody's ever found.
The seventh chest, I think.
Yeah.
But this, it might be another chest. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, just real quick before we go here, since this is our first one of the year, any games that are coming out this year that you are particularly looking forward to?
That's a good question. Nothing off the top of my head. I wish I had more to say there, but I'm really there's nothing really on the horizon there. I'm like, yeah, that's a first day. I'm gonna pick up and play that, and I'm just gonna work on my backlog. I'm still picking up from Destiny. Yeah. I have a huge backlog thanks to Destiny.
So for me, I would say, you know, there's a lot of just some of the big games. Forza Horizon 6 looks freaking amazing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that looks me. That looks sweet. For me, I would say just immediately the big. I mean, Resident Evil 9 is coming out here shortly. I'm very excited for that. Fable looks good. Fire Emblem, Fortune's Weave. That's probably my number one. There's a lot of games that Nintendo obviously hasn't announced, so we don't know if we're gonna get a big new Mario. We need a direct.
We need to know more about this year.
Mario movie. That looks Mario Galaxy movie. That looks good. So just trying to think of some other. Anything other big that's coming out? I'm sure there's a ton. We'll probably get some Pokemon game. There's another Pokemon game coming out, but I don't think there's like a. We might get like the big one coming out this year. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what Nintendo's going to do. And see. Oh, there's that Star Wars Galactic Racer.
That looks good.
I don't know if that's coming out this year or not, though, but that looked good. So. But yeah, Fire Emblem's definitely my number one.
I think next game I'm gonna play is probably Indiana Jones. I need to I've started it like three times, but now I own it on Steam, so I'm just gonna I need to play it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna try. I doubt I'll get to Metroid before Resident Evil 9 comes out, but once Resident Evil 9, that will be my game for sure.
And I also like in my backlog, I've picked up Fallout 3. I've put so much time into it. I need to finish it. So I'm probably going to the new season of Fallout. Second season was great. They just finished it this week. It was fantastic. I don't know if you caught those, but
I'm watching The Pit and Night of the Seven Kingdoms, both of which are fantastic.
How is that?
Oh, it's amazing. Night of the Seven Kingdoms is, I mean, obviously I'm live streaming and talking about it on my Game of Thrones channel, Bend the Knee, but yeah, oh my god, it's so good. It's have you watched it yet?
No.
Oh dude. No. You liked Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Okay.
To a point.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, you'll love this. It's like it's much lighter in tone and it's so good. Like it's
fantastic. I like Game of Thrones. I didn't like the last season.
Yeah.
I like the first season of whatever the
House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon, the first season was good. I didn't watch the second season. I haven't caught up. But this, I don't even know. It looks interesting. Night of the Seven Kingdoms. Yeah, it looks good. It's about some of the lore. Duncan the
Tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's in between. It's in between House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones. Yeah, you could just wait and watch the whole thing. Because the episodes are short. It's six, like, 30-minute episodes. Because it's based on a short story, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm really watching right now is Shrinking on Apple. Oh, okay. Harrison Ford, my man.
The
GOAT.
Yeah, there's Plurbus. I heard was really good.
Plurbus was pretty good.
It's on my to watch list.
It was
kind of we rotate between. Like I always have HBO because it has it's got like DC and Game of Thrones, and so I have
Stranger Things.
We talked about that. Yeah.
What do you think of season five?
No, we didn't talk about the finale.
No, we didn't.
Okay.
We haven't seen each other.
Real quick, that's right. I thought if we could talk spoilers here, we don't have to do a super deep dive into it because I know it's getting late for you. But it was good. I thought it was a very good ending. It's hard to just wrap up anything. So I mean, like it's as good of an ending as I think you can do for a TV show of that magnitude. The only thing I would push back on a little bit is I felt like some of the stuff that happened, they almost went in like the J.K. Rowling route where she's like on Twitter talking, not her political stuff, but you know, like J.K. Rowling explains like, well, this probably happened in the story, like with this. And they kind of did that for some of the characters. Like that's how they kind of explained Jonathan and Nancy's, like they felt like
yeah
it's like, well, like what the hell happened? Yeah, I felt like you could have maybe shown that a little bit more. I also think the fact that there was a lot of lore and stuff tied into the play, and like the play wasn't available to be watched on Netflix, was not a particularly good thing. But overall, I loved it. I mean, I loved, I thought it was a great way to end it. A lot of people are, I feel like a lot of people are, I just want to complain about totally small things. Like, well, why weren't the Demo Dogs there? It's like, dude, come on.
The final,
yeah. Yeah, like it's fine. But other than that, I thought it was a, I thought it was a great ending.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was very good. I felt like the first four episodes felt like the last four episodes of a season. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, this momentum is like crazy that they're starting like this. And then it went, ooh, like the momentum shifted in 5, 6, and 7. Then 8, it went back up. And then 8 felt like Return of the King, where it was like the last 40 minutes was just this after story, which I love. I love that they do that.
Yeah.
So I felt good about it. Kind of like I did about The Last Jedi. I'm like, I felt that was a good movie. That was pretty good. And then time sets in.
Yeah.
And then the internet reacts to it. And you're like, that was a bad movie. Why did they do that to Luke Skywalker? And I started to get into the whole gate theory. And I'm like, Conformity gate could be a thing.
That would have been the most insane thing ever.
It would have broken.
Now some company is going to try it.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to. That is such a good idea.
Yeah. It's so but to I, just I, shadow drop the real finale. That'd be like, ugh.
But then, like, people pointing out the holes, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's kind of true. Like, yeah, that does make sense. I think it was a fitting end. I love those characters. I love the story.
The show is still one of the best top shows on television.
Top five all time for me. It's not Sopranos level, but top five.
It's not many things are like to me. It's like the pinnacle of TV is reserved for like Breaking Bad, The Sopranos, and Game of Thrones. I know Game of Thrones ending wasn't particularly whatever, but still, I mean, it's the most award winning show in the history of television. So at least when you're like. Those three shows kind of sit at the pinnacle of television.
Yeah. The Red Wedding is worth the last season being bad because it's still the most shocking thing I've ever seen in a TV series. Like, what did you just do? But yeah, Sopranos number one, Breaking Bad number two. Probably Stranger Things could be number three for me.
It's up there. All right. Well, I think that's it for us today. Next time we're thinking Sega Genesis, what we talked about.
We could do GameCube too, but yeah,
I'm down.
We'll figure it out. We're overdue on Genesis.
Yeah, we should do Sega. We could do GameCube later. So with that, where can people find you on the internet?
The TikToks, the Instagrams, and the YouTube.
Although TikTok is jacked up right now, so
I am struggling making stuff. Honestly,
it's
kind of rough.
Something's wrong with the algorithm because I got bought and who knows. I feel like we're gonna have this every year. There's just gonna be
TikTok's
all weird. Yeah,
I'm kind of stuck. So thank you for doing this. Thank you for having me again. Because this is really my outlet right now. So
that's fine. Okay. All right. Well, guys, you can always find me anywhere on the internet, anywhere at Super Gains Bros. With that, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at weightwatchers.com.